There it is.
Can you hear me? All right, praise God. Got myself a new Bible just a while ago. I tore the other one up by reading it. So that's a good thing, right? But it's so stiff, so I ain't got my ruts in it yet, but praise God. This morning... Well, first of all, my name is Bruce Young, and this is my wife, my lovely wife, Tina. And we are third-year ministry grads of the school, CBC. And it's just been an awesome, awesome journey thus far. We came from North Idaho. I think we have some Idaho people in here, don't we? Yeah. But I've lived there most of my life until I moved here. So, a lot of times it's usually the woman that's, has a hard time leaving, but actually she was like, I'm ready to go, And I grew up in the same house that I was raised in. My mom died when I was like 14, and then I had old parents. My dad was born in 22. He was an old logger. And so we batched together until he got older and stuff. So it was a little more difficult for me because, I'd been there forever and whatnot. But I didn't receive Jesus until I was 30 years old. But I'm going to get into my testimony about that a little bit. It's been, 18 years? Well, yeah, I got born again 2001. And then I got married just right after that. And I had a family because our daughter, she was from my wife's first marriage. But I'm her dad because she was only like 4 years old then. But anyway, so our daughter's name's Kristen, and we got two grandbabies, so that's awesome. And they're up in Montana right now. But so when I received Jesus, I lived in a home where my dad said there was no God. So, but at a young age, I knew that wasn't true. So as I went through life. And I started getting closer to my 30s, I realized I was going to have to make a change in my life. I was drinking, I was doing all the things that my friends were, involved in and all that stuff, and got into bar fights and all that. But anyways, I started really thinking about my life. Then I met my wife. We met in a bar, which I don't suggest that to anybody, but look how it turned out, So, and I don't know why she liked me, but anyways, I really started thinking about my life, and I was like, wow, and I was coming to a crossroads where I was going to either, keep doing what I was doing, or I was going to change, and I didn't realize she was born again, but she wasn't acting like it because she was with me, She would go to church every once in a while, and she was praying for me and stuff. But then I really started thinking about, the things of God. And I had at the time, my dad wasn't in the house then. He was in the hospital, actually. He had both of his legs cut off. He had a plugged aorta and stuff. But so I was at the house by myself, and I had my sister's husband. My sister actually got born again like a couple years earlier, and he started sharing with me and stuff. But anyways, I was coming home and I was tearing the house out. I was remodeling it on the inside. I was wanting to get my dad back in there. I was making a big shower for him and stuff, so his wheelchair and all that. And so he was sharing with me stuff, and I was thinking about these things. Anyways, I started really accepting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many know that, you know, the Holy Spirit is here and he's ministering to people? It doesn't take, obviously we witness to people and that's what we're supposed to do, but he's ministering all the time. So anyways, I started, you know, going that way, and then I got invited to a church there and started, you know, learning and growing and things. And then there was a time where, and I've shared this with you guys, but I was down in the basement of the church, and I was looking at these windows, and I was like, wow, you know what, something strange about these windows. It was like bringing back a memory or something, excuse me. And so I was like, wow, you know, I went outside, and it was on a corner lot, and I looked out, and there was a big stump next to the road, and I was like, wow, what, you know, and there was a big tree here, obviously, and there was maple trees around, and then it just, bam, hit me. It was like, I went to Vacation Bible School in this church, and I remember sitting under this tree, listening, you know, just, well, they had us make these crosses out of these matchbooks, the burnt matchbooks. I remember they played these videos of Christians getting their heads cut off. This was like back in the late 70s, you know, early, like, I don't know what denomination it was, but we had to memorize scripture. It wasn't, you know, we just didn't go there to have fun. We had to memorize scripture. I remember that and things. So when I saw, I was like, whoa. And then later on, I was like, you know, this scripture, 1 Peter 1:23, when it talks about you've been born again of the incorruptible word. You know, I was like, I had this word sown in me when I was young. And then when I was growing up, you know, it was dormant. Remember how Andrew talks about, you know, that seed can be dormant, just like the seeds, you know, they get from Egypt and stuff. They can plant them today and they'll grow. And that's what happened. You know, I was like, whoa, you know, this, I had the word sown in me, you know, years before, but that's a great testimony, because it is the word of God that changes us. And that was inside of me. I remember we would go to hotels and stuff, and I remember, you know, being young, and going into the drawers and finding the Gideon Bibles there. And me and my sister, we'd open it up to Revelations where it says, you know, you'll be burned in the lake of fire. It was like a scary movie, you know. It was like, wow, you know. And then I was thinking about, I was like, how did I know to go to those scriptures? You know, how did I? It's the Word of God. See, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go void, like it says in Isaiah. Amen. But this morning I want to share on the flesh versus the spirit. And this will tie into faith and all the things that Pastor Andy's been sharing with us lately. And in 2 John, let's go to, well, chapter 1, of course. You'll have to excuse me, I'm trying to get through here. It says, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, talking about the church, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace, verse 3, will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In verse 4, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. So, I want to just start off there because when I first received Jesus, that's what I received. I received the truth. And I can't tell you how elated I was because during that time when I was, this was before I went to church, I would come home from work and I was gutting out the house inside of that. Some of you might know that, you know, that about that lath and plaster on the inside. I mean, I tore that. There was dust. I mean, it was dirty. It was nasty. But I would come home and my brother-in-law, he gave me a Bible. So I would just, I was eating it up. And Romans was really speaking to me. I mean, that, when I went to Romans, man, it was like, you know, you get to chapter 7 and it talks about the things that, you know, you're doing things that you shouldn't do. And you know, there's this conflict in which is the flesh and the spirit. But, yeah, I just eat it up, man. I was just like, wow. I would read through the whole, and I didn't even have anybody tell me not to mess with the Old Testament. I don't know why. I just didn't go there. I just stayed in the New Testament. I would read Matthew through Revelations. I would just do that over and over and over. I would just read that over and over. And I didn't realize I was doing what Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. I was sowing the word in my heart. So I was just like, I'd read it just. And if I didn't understand something, I just would go by it. You know, I was just like, wow, okay, whatever that means, you know. And then later, of course, when we heard about Andrew and heard about the spirit, soul, and body, I mean, that, to me, that's like a Rosetta Stone there. I mean, that will unlock a lot of scriptures for people if you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, because you can get a little confused if you don't understand that, because there's scriptures that specifically talk about your soulish part or your spirit or both. You know, I mean, you can, a lot of scriptures you can apply both to. So anyways, I just want to share those scriptures because it was the truth. Now, when I accepted Jesus, I didn't, I didn't feel the love per se. I mean, I felt accepted. I felt like I knew something changed on the inside of me, especially when I'd hang out with my old friends because they were like, you know, I start saying things about God and they're like, God, what? Is this the same Bruce? When? So anyways, but it was the truth. And see, and that's what we have to start out with, I really believe, because, you know, you people that's been around a while and been in ministry for a while, I mean, there can be that, you know, you start talking to people, there's that duality, you know, there's, okay, they're saying Christian things, but, you know, there's some flaky things there. I don't know about that, but that's because a lot of people, they may have accepted Jesus, but they haven't made the Word of God or total truth to them. See, and when I accepted Jesus, I was all in. You know, and I remember when I made that decision because I was at a friend of mine, his dad died. And I was at the funeral, and I was in this in-between place, and I was like, I'm going to make a decision. You know, of course, the minister's up there, you know, conducting the service and whatnot, and I didn't go up or anything, but I made a decision during that funeral. I was like, I walked out of there, I was like on cloud nine. People were crying in the funeral and things like that, and they were carrying on and stuff, and I was just like, I was just pumped. I was just like, okay, I'm going to go this way. I made this decision, you know. Like I said, I was at that crossroads. And when I did, I didn't understand everything. I guess the point I'm trying to make is I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. You know, he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. So he was my truth. But I wasn't established in that truth, per se. I mean, I was born again. This is where spirit and soul and body come in. My soul was sealed, just like Pastor Andy ministers every week. You know, come up and receive the, you know, your salvation. Your spirit will be sealed. That's Ephesians 1:13, and that's true, and that's what happened. But we were still drinking. We were still partying. You know, it's funny because yesterday we were helping Dan move and stuff, and Pastor was there, and they were, I don't know, they were playing some old music or something, and they started talking about these old bands and stuff. But and then somebody brought up AC/DC. You know, that was like one of my favorite bands. But yeah, she remembers because she would try to play her Christian music, and I was like, shut that off, you know. But anyways, yesterday it was funny because when we started going to church and started fellowshipping with the body of Christ, we were still doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing. But we actually went to an AC/DC concert, and then it was like the week right after that we went, it was up in Seattle. We actually flew up there to go to it, but then the next week we went to a fellowship at our church, and then the pastors came back, and they just... Like the week after, Benny Hinn was at the same Coliseum that AC/DC played. So they went to Benny Hinn to see Benny Hinn. And so we were standing there going, you know, they were like, oh, we just got back from Benny Hinn, you know, at the, I think it was the Tacoma Dome. And then we were like, yeah, we were there too, you know. You know, so, but that's where we got to give people a chance to grow.
That's right.
We got to give people, you know, because, excuse me, you know, our pastor, he understood that, and I actually started playing the bass there and stuff too, and so I think other people in the congregation knew what we were involved in, and so when I was up there playing bass, I guess, you know, we don't hear things because pastor gets all the, you know, but later on he would tell me, he was like, yeah, there was people, because we were sharing stories, you know, I was like, 5 years later, and he was like, yeah, there was people like, why you got him up there? He's out doing this and that and that, you know? And it's like, it's the heart, see? And we know that, you know, when you first accept Jesus, there can be those phantom pains of the old man, right? You're still acting out things that the old man did, but the true nature is on the inside. Now, of course, there can be people that aren't genuine and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, so it's the truth that we receive. That's got to be first. We got to receive that truth. And I had that truth, but we were still involved in other stuff, drinking and partying and stuff. Actually, I had my last drink on our wedding night. Our wedding day, and I remember going to the pastor there, and I had alcohol in my breath, and I was just excited to tell him we got married. We didn't get married in the church, so. But anyways, I had God speak to me. He says, I had a drink in my hand, and he was like, you don't need that anymore. And I was just like, you're right. I hadn't had a drink since. So, and she had a similar experience with smoking, but anyways, it'd be kind of nice if that would happen in other areas of your life, but just one word, you know, is just like, boop. But praise God, there's some things that are rooted a lot deeper than that. I mean, I wasn't a hardcore alcoholic or anything, but I did have a problem with it. You know, it wasn't helping me out. So we have to establish God's word as truth first. And then walking in the flesh, otherwise walking in the flesh will be our default. Remember John 6:63, Jesus said, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. Let's go to some... Well, I'm going to touch on some of these Old Testament examples. You know, first of all, Adam and Eve in the garden. We know what happened there. I mean, but they had a word from God, didn't they? What did God say? He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree is in the middle of the garden. So don't eat of it, because in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So that was Adam's word. That was his truth at that time. Amen. And God told him to keep the garden, and he didn't keep it. He lost it because of disobedience. And then we have Abraham and Hagar. Remember that situation where Abraham tried to speed things up with God's timing and whatnot? And but he had a word. He said, you're going to be a father of a multitude. Amen. And then David and Bathsheba, we know what happened there. You know, that's pretty interesting, because Nathan the prophet, when he came to him and stuff and told him that you are the man that did this, God actually, we can turn there real quick, 2 Samuel 7:14. Because this is interesting. I mean, he had a word for him. He told David through Nathan exactly how he was going to get treated if he were to fail. 2 Samuel 7:14. If you were to back up in 13, it says, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men. God did exactly what he said he was going to deal with David if he was to mess up, didn't he? So David had a word from God. He had that truth. He had a word. Jacob and Esau. Remember that situation where Rebekah had, she had a word. Now this is pretty interesting, because, you know, I kind of think about today and the Kavanaugh nomination for the Supreme Court and things, and I kind of relate that to this, because we know, of course, that Jacob, it seemingly looked like he deceived, which I guess you could say he did. But Rebekah had a word. God said, you have two nations in your womb. The older is going to serve the younger. So when Isaac was going to bless Esau, I mean, Rebekah was like, this ain't going to happen. You know, I got to do something about this. This isn't, you know. So going back to the Kavanaugh thing, it's like, you know, all the leftists or whoever you want to call them, they're doing everything to thwart this nomination. And it's obvious that they're just doing everything in their power to do that. But it's like, you know, Rebekah, obviously they don't have a word. They're just doing things out of the flesh. They're just doing things to stop what God had started with Trump. But when she saw this, she was like, no, God already spoke to me. You know, so we're going to have to do something. So it's, I don't really have an answer for this, but it kind of makes me think, do we sit on the fence too much? When we have a word, are we too easy to let other people just to walk all over that? You know, just a question. So moving on, we got to have that truth. We got to have a word from God. You know, we've been here for a little over 4 years, I think, now. And, you know, it's like some people are kind of maybe thinking, you know, like, when are you going to move on? When are you going to go? You know, it's like God hadn't said to go anywhere yet. We got a word in second year, which just lines up with what we've always done. We've always served in the church. We've always got involved. But there was a specific word, just serve in the church. And that's what we're doing. We're serving. Now, I'm beginning to realize how you serve is a big deal, too. It's not just doing things. It's not just cleaning the bathroom or whatever, you know, although that's included, but it's having the right attitude. And this is why, you know, the flesh versus the spirit is important, because we can actually receive from both. And obviously we're children of God and we need to receive from the Spirit. We need to, you know, if we live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit, right? Ephesians chapter 5. So, that's what we're doing, you know, and those that, you know, come out of school and stuff, there's that, you know, people are like, what are you doing? What, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? It's like, we're doing what the last thing we heard we're supposed to do. Now, my attitude can get better in that, because I have, you know, gotten off track a few times, and you know, God's had to speak to me and tell me, hey, you know, you need to straighten up in this area, you need to do this or what. But that's just part of being a son of God, being obedient and being open to correction, right? So let's go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2:6-7. Where are you, Colossians? There you are. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Praise God. Well, how did we receive Jesus? We believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth. That's how we continue in him. That's how we continue in this walk. We got to have a word, right? Okay, and then we got to be convinced of that word. And that's where verse 7 comes in. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith. You know, Pastor Andy's been sharing about faith lately. And, you know, last week he shared about getting, you know, having our faith on the outside and not keeping it all in. I probably have a problem with that. I need to show it more. I need to do things more. I need to. And so that was a great word, and I received that. And so. But we need to be confident, because it's one thing, you know, I remember when I first got born again, and I, well, not too long after, I remember a friend of mine coming, let's go witness out on the street, you know, it's like, you know, your spirit's going, yeah, you know, your flesh is going, no. So that gives you a kind of an example, you know. But see, now that wouldn't bother me at all. I could go out and share my faith. That doesn't bother me. But at the time, see, I had the Spirit of God living on the inside of me, but I wasn't confident in those things. And that's where we have to get to. We have to have that truth, but we need to be confident of the truth. Praise God. Galatians 5:6 says, You know, circumcision, uncircumcision is nothing but faith working through love. Praise God. Of course, we know that love is a great motivator. It's the greatest motivator for anything that we do in the faith. Amen. Just like Pastor Andy was, you know, God gave. God loved, so loved the world that he gave his only son. Amen. So that having that motivation is important. In Romans 8, to me, really speaks of this. We can go there. These are very familiar scriptures. In verse 1, it says, therefore, in chapter 8 of Romans, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And then verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now to me, this speaks of the love of God, because in verse 4, what is the requirement of the law? Love. What Romans 13:8 says, the fulfillment of the law is love. To love your neighbor, amen? See, and then if you go back to verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to love anybody in my flesh. But see, Jesus, God, see what the flesh could not do, or the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. What did he do? He sent his only begotten Son, which was the greatest act of love there ever will be. Amen? That's why looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, is paramount. And it should be the reason why we read our Bible. It should be the reason why we pray. It should be the reason why we do anything in the faith, is to keep Jesus right here. Why? Because Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's love to us. Amen? And see, we couldn't do that in the flesh. See, but then verse 4, let's go back to verse, it says, so that the requirement of the law, which is love, will be fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? So when we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in love. When we're renewing our mind, when we're doing anything concerning our a relationship with God, okay, we're loving God. He's seeing that as love. It's reciprocating. Amen? So, what the law could not do, say, through rules, regulations, doing all these things, the Levitical law, however you want to look at that. You know, Romans chapter 2 talks about we make laws unto ourselves. You know, what's a law unto yourself? Well, I'm not worthy, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. You know, we can do that without the Word of God. Okay? And it says that in chapter 2. Now let's jump over to Galatians, because this ties right into Galatians. We already touched on Galatians 5:6, but this just kind of amplifies it more. And again, I want to go back to what I said, you know, the flesh versus the Spirit. We can receive by both ways, but obviously we need to receive through the Spirit. Amen. Galatians 5 is the famous chapter that shows us, defines what walking in the flesh is, and then it defines what walking in the Spirit is. Okay. So I'm going to start in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This ties right in with Romans chapter 13:8. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Then it goes on to say in verse 18 through 21, it gives a description of the deeds of the flesh. Or excuse me, 19. And I remember when God ministered this to me, he just told me these aren't good things, obviously, but they're ways that people receive things into their life. You can take any one of these. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Now, it's kind of hard to think like that, It's like, well, obviously these are part of the old nature, okay? As a new creation, we can still operate in them through an unrenewed mind, okay? But the only reason why we would is we think there's a benefit to it, right? The only reason that we would is we think somehow we're getting something from that. We're receiving through that, whether it be sorcery, drunkenness. A lot of people get drunk because they're either hurting inside or they want to feel something different. See, they're receiving. That's how they receive. We know it's a deception, okay? All right? We may think if we're operating in these things, we may think we're receiving something, but we're not. Because later on in chapter 6, it says if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, correct? So that's given. But I guess the point I'm trying to make, if we're still operating in things like this, if we're still getting angry, which there's times where I still have a problem with that, and I'm just saying it is what it is, but I need to... And what God showed me was anytime I get angry, it's because I haven't been spending time with Him. If I operate in any of these, which that's probably the one that I can think of the most, is it's because I'm not spending the time with Him. Otherwise, I wouldn't be leaning on the flesh and allowing these things to manifest in my life. But anyways, praise God. He's a good God. He's going to talk to you. He's going to help you through these things. Okay? Oh, I kind of forgot what I was going to say, but so anytime we operate in these things, we're for some reason we're receiving through these avenues, and this is why it goes on to say in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." What does that mean? That means that you see, you don't have anything to do with it in the sense of you can produce these things. You have to receive them by faith. Well, you have to receive them through the new creation. later on in chapter 6, it's interesting, in verse 15, he kind of makes the same statement that he did back in Galatians 5, 6. Except for here, instead of saying faith working through love, he says, but a new creation. You know, circumcision, uncircumcision is nothing, but in Galatians 6, 15, he says a new creation. So if you put those two together, I mean, there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit because you can only receive it through Jesus Christ, through accepting Him. Amen. And also, if you were to back up in verse 21 of chapter 5, Galatians 5, it says those who, at the end of that verse, says those who practice such things won't inherit the kingdom. So it is about receiving. Okay. We don't receive that way. Now, we inherited the kingdom when we were born again, but here on earth, this is where spirit, soul, and body come in. Here on earth, we can inherit the kingdom through our relationship with God. But if we continue to operate in these things, that's obviously going to throw a monkey wrench in our inheritance. We're not going to receive very well. Why? Because sowing to the flesh reaps corruption. It doesn't produce life. Okay? And this is why we need to keep our head in the game, per se. Because we know as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we're born again, we have the life of God on the inside of us. However, Satan has only one avenue, and that's through the soulish realm. If we don't keep our mind on the things of God, if we don't keep our heart in check, then he can trip us up. We can stumble. Now, the great thing about that is God loves us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. But on this level, we might not have the influence that we did. A lot of times we only have maybe one or two chances with people, and that's about it. That's another reason. I mean, if we're about God's business and we want to minister to people, operating in the flesh is not... That's one thing Greg Moore really hammered in. He said, you don't have a right to get angry with people. You know, if you're getting to that point, you need to tell them, hey, I need to go off and pray. You know, well, don't say pray, but just, I'll get back to you. That's what he says. I'll get back to you. So, because, again, our Father, we can mess up umpteen times, and he'll take us back because he's love, but people, not so much. So, how is that, you know, a lot of times it seems like, you know, even unbelievers, you know, act better than Christians. You know, a lot of times, I don't know about a lot of times, but it can happen that way. It can seem that way, okay? But Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Amen. So, you know, this kind of caught me off guard a while back because I was like, well, I thought Jesus was our sacrifice. You know, why do I got to present my body? I thought he presented his, you know. But to me, this is really connected to what Romans 8 talked about is our minds, keeping our minds on the Spirit. And because as our mind goes, our body is going to follow. Okay, as our thoughts are, as our, you know, how we think in our heart, you know, our bodies are going to correspond to that. We're going to act out what we really believe in our heart, is I guess what I'm saying. You know, one of the things I remember back in my drinking days or whatever, I would order these videos on fighting and stuff, and there was some really good things in there to protect yourself. But one of the things was, like, if somebody was coming at you, you know, you would just grab their head and you just start jerking it like that. Nobody can fight off balance. It's really hard to do that. And, you know, maybe some of you can go home and practice that or something. I don't know. But when somebody grabs your head, guess what's going with it? Your body's going with it. See, it's hard to do anything when somebody's jerking your head around left and right and up and down. And see, a lot of times the enemy, the devil, likes to do that to us because he knows our body will follow. We'll just act out what he's planning in our minds. You know, it's the same thing like, you know, we're in Colorado and we ski and snowboard. Snowboarding's the same way. I used to snowboard and, you know, you're like this. And I never took lessons, but I've seen people that took lessons and the instructor said, just turn your head, you know. You just, wherever you turn your head, you just start, you turn because your body goes with it. It's true. So we got to keep our heads about us. And this is why we walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Second Peter. Oh, First Peter. I just was reminded of a scripture that went with that analogy. Go ahead and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to go back to Colossians real quick. Chapter 2:19 in Colossians says, you can write this down. In 19 it says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with the growth which is from God. And who's the head of the body? Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but a choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now when I saw this, I immediately linked it with Romans chapter 12, because it says we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, you know, holy and acceptable unto God. We're born again, we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, but there is spiritual sacrifices in the sense, what does Ephesians chapter 4 say? Towards the end, I think it's in verse 20, 25, whatever. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right? But these spiritual sacrifices are just that, letting go of the old thinking, letting go of the old man. And here's a key, because remember I said, how is it that, you know, unbelievers can act better than believers sometimes? But see, who gets the credit for that when they act good? They get the credit. It says right here, spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So if I'm not, I guess you could apply this to a believer too, if I'm not doing things, you know, Hebrews 10, dead works, if we're not doing things out of our relationship with God, okay, if we're not renewing our mind, if we're not giving those spiritual sacrifices in the sense we're not letting go of the old man, we're not laying hold of the new, and that can only be acceptable, it says right here, through God, to God through Jesus Christ, then we're doing it in vain. And this is why it looks like, okay, they're doing all these great things or whatever, it looks like they're, but see, they get the credit for that. God doesn't get the credit for that. Why? Because it's only acceptable through Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean there's not benefit to it. If somebody's feeding the poor and they don't know God or whatever, there's benefit to that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But eternal value, it's all going to be burned up. Why? Because they get the glory. See, so don't get rattled by that. Don't allow that to, you know, it's like, well, what's, you know, because we're in the last days and, you know, we can be susceptible to deceit and things. Yeah, they may be doing great things and there's benefit to that. There's nothing wrong, but if, you know, those spiritual sacrifices, you know, somebody can quit drinking, somebody can quit smoking, somebody can quit committing adultery, but if it's not done through, there's benefit to that. I'm not saying there's not benefit to it, but if it's not done through Jesus Christ, there's no reward. You know, all these talk shows, Oprah and all this stuff, you know, it's like, yeah, there may be some benefit to that, but it's not eternal. They're not doing it through Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say, if you were to jump up, you know, it talks about the cap, the cornerstone, and things, and it says, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. Wow, isn't that something? Everything comes back to the word. See, having that truth on the inside of us. Praise God. So again, we need to have the truth, we need to have the word. We know those are synonymous. In John 17, Jesus said, sanctify them in your word. Lord, your word is, or in the truth, Lord, your word is truth. Amen. We need to be confident in it. Okay? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus so that motivation for the things of the Spirit stay intact and we're continually growing. And again, this is why we read our Bible. This is why we do anything, because we're looking at Jesus. And I don't know about you, when I read the Bible, especially the gospel accounts, another big reason to do this is it shows a contrast between you and Jesus' life. It's like, wow, I don't do this. Why don't I do this? See, if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to get that. You're just going to be religious and you're going to, you know, make people mad. So that love, see, that love has to be continue on the inside. We love Jesus, we love God's word, we love people, okay? And we want to grow, we want to succeed in life. If Jesus is your truth, then he will help you in all these areas. Okay, we got to keep our head about us. Because remember, wherever our head goes, our body follows. Okay, we're just going to act out what we... And I don't know about you, but these are really strange times. Really strange times. And we need to keep our focus on Jesus, amen. And we need to receive from the Spirit. And now we can act, there's times where we can act out in the flesh, but we don't receive that way anymore. We don't receive through those avenues. They don't, They don't produce anything. They just produce death. And like I said, they'll just make people mad. So, Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that abides on the inside of us, Father. We just thank you for your correction in these areas. If there's correction that needs to be had, Father, we thank you that we receive that. And we know that we're your child. And we know that you're always willing to share good things with us, to show us what to do and not to do. And we just love you.